It's Before Paul Early, and this is the Pre-W. Smith Show on 760 WJR. Here is Jeff Sloan.
And now to a focus on education, in particular, how we're grading students these days. Is it the right way? Is it the wrong way? Is there a better way? Well, many think it's time to rethink the traditional grading system. One in particular who thinks yes is Robert Talbert, math professor. You were able to catch up with him on the Ed Surge podcast. Tell us about, at a high level first, what you learned.
Great. Yeah. And it is a time where obviously there's been a lot of change in education and a lot of wondering about the future with the pandemic and a lot of remote learning that happened there. And I think for a lot of teachers and professors, it was really a time of getting to know the kind of struggles of their students more and understanding that the experience of grades may not have been what people sort of imagine they would be. The professor obviously wants the students to learn, most teachers and professors. And when they sort of understood how stressful that grades can feel from a student's perspective and how much students were actually trying to game them and kind of getting away from the learning to sort of get at this system that was stressful, then a lot of professors were sort of like, wait, is this working?
Right. And I think you make a really strong point. And that was, you know, as it relates to learning versus getting good grades. Those two things can, in many cases, be one and the same. But in certain critical and important cases, they are not. Students can actually be, for example, really understanding and grasping the material quite well, but not performing well on tests. And so the context or the basis, the underlying foundation of any grading system is the testing that's done. And that's where you can create a divergence between learning and good test taking, right?
Right. And that is exactly what, you know, I think professors that have looked into the alternative grading systems have really come to see, is that it can feel really inconsistent to a learner that these numbers that they get on any assessment, especially when in some cases that they might not be a good test taker. I think we've all met people or been ourselves someone who just doesn't feel like they test well, and yet if you put them in a different situation with the material, they actually have learned a lot. And so the question then is, like, we sort of assume that these numbers, these grades and letters, like, they sound very official. They sound very legitimate. And of course they can be if done well, but do they sometimes mask something that isn't as stringent or fair to everyone?
Yeah. So tell us, if you will, I know you did some research during the interview. You were able to learn from Professor Talbert, just first setting the stage, kind of the history and the backdrop to the current grading system that's used so prevalently. Tell us about what you learned.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, it's surprising to think, we think of grades, especially letter grades, right, as so fundamental, like they've got to be there, and like points-based systems of like 1 to 100. But it turns out these are an invention that happened in the 18th century. And at universities, one of the first examples apparently was at Yale University. And before that, it was really a kind of a oral exam that was done, not for, you know, once or twice in a degree program at a university level, where there'd be this intensive, almost like the way dissertation reviews happen, where there's like an oral review of what you know with a committee or with one professor. And then if you prove you know it, then they would pass you on. And that person would have a very, you know, kind of descriptive understanding of how well you did, that they could give you a job recommendation if somebody ever checked in on you. But obviously, over time, there was a move to kind of create a more standardized system that birthed this idea of numbers that could be put on a transcript.
Sure. And so much then is dependent on those numbers and those letters that we have in a transcript, you know, whether you get into graduate school and so on and so on, it goes on and on. But let me ask this now, Professor Talbert, it became clear to him that there needed to be a different way, and he is no longer using the traditional grading method. What is he doing, and what does he propose that the rest of us do?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, because that, and it seems like he had to figure out, you know, he wanted to get rid of them, but then it's like, what do you do? And it seems like there are some alternatives, one of which he used are sort of specifications grading, it's called. There's a researcher named Linda Nilsen who's kind of laid out these, you make these kind of rubrics of whether someone's mastered material, and then you sort of tell students on an assignment, either you met you know, sort of like you seem to know what it is, or not yet. So you send it back with you haven't gotten the mastery yet, but the student is able to make it up to do it again. And so instead of this idea of one and done of an assignment, you have the ability to have the student have a do-over and then improve based on the feedback is the idea. And then the other option on these specifications is maybe the student is okay with something that's like a pretty good but not excellent, then they can say, okay, I don't need to redo it. And it's less of this kind of idea of like high stakes, you either get the number or you don't, and there's no revision.
And is there any way to measure the outcome and ideally the success of treating grading this way as opposed to the traditional way?
Right. And I think that's a really good question. And I think that this hasn't been done as long. And so I think that'll be a question for a lot of people. Some people worry that this kind of system wouldn't be as rigorous, but Talbert argues that it is more so because he's doing more kind of getting to know the student and letting them have revisions. And so can see the student's kind of abilities more clearly, and it gives better kind of sense to the professor. But it does feel like it takes work to do it this way, certainly changing quite a bit the way teachers and professors work. And so if everybody does it probably as rigorously as this professor I talked to, then it seems like an improvement. But is it more subjective in some other way, or does it create more abilities for people to slip on a rubric they've made, or you know, like the set of standards? I guess it's a whole new thing, and students probably also have to be sold on it in a way when this change is made.
Sure. Well, you know, Professor Talbert's way is one way. There will no doubt be other ways. The interesting thing here is that really we're starting to rethink the traditional grading system. And I, for one, think that's a good thing. So it's interesting stuff. And we really appreciate Jeffrey Young, editor of EdSurge and host of the EdSurge podcast. You can find all of that at edsurge.com. Jeffrey, thank you for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. All right, back with more in a minute here on the Pre-W. Smith Show.